Welcome to the Win the 16 podcast, presented by Pygon One Consulting. This is your go-to podcast on optimizing your day. The Win the 16 podcast features discussions on leadership, coaching, personal and professional development, as well as interviews with special guests who are leaders in their fields. Your host is Dave Pygon, president of Pygon One Consulting, and author of Win the 16, Principles and Strategies to Optimize Your Day. Thank you for listening.
Hello, and welcome to the Win the 16 podcast. Thank you to our loyal listeners. We love having you. Thank you so much. For our new listeners, we love you too. Thanks for jumping on today. Perry production team, as always, thank you for what you do. Today, we're going to have a little different podcast topic. It's been prevalent in with many of my clients in the last month or two, not only for leadership, but also for the employees. And we're going to touch on what we call KPIs, key performance indicators, as well as we're going to dive into some Win the 16 stuff. We know a lot of people are going on month three of their goals, priorities, and what they are doing for 2026. So we thought we'd bring some Win the 16 motivation, inspiration, and some stuff from the book, as well as what we teach on a daily basis with that. To do it, I couldn't think of anyone better when it comes to creating a plan, following a plan, nationally recognized award winner, helps me and Pygon One and Win the 16 all the time. My friend on the Northeast Coast, V. Nick Rella. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Dave, pleasure to be here with you. Thank you very much. What a great topic, and I look forward to discussing some in-depth details on this key performance indicator topic that you've selected.
Oh, yeah, and I wasn't full on your intro there. You've been on the podcast before, so welcome back. We appreciate having you. I think you, other than my brother, I think you're the only person who's making round two.
Is that right?
Yeah,
all
I think
right.
So.
Well,
I mean,
I'm honored.
We're honored to have you. And I give you a full introduction there. Is not only is Nick a nationally renowned award winner, I think he's up to 13 or 14 awards he's won as a leader, but he's a well-respected businessman in the world of leadership. I believe he's over two decades now where he's been meeting people. So I look to Nick very often when we're developing criteria, and he does some consulting for us on that to help us with it because he's got volumes of experience. So, Nick, thanks again for joining us.
Did I miss anything? Well, you're too kind, Dave. So thank you for those very nice words, and I appreciate always collaborating with you on many topics. So thank you for that.
Nope. Okay, key performance indicators. Let's jump right in. Do you want to define it, or should I define key performance indicators for our listeners?
I mean, listen, I can define it, Dave, no problem.
Sure.
Look, it's, you know, when you think about these KPIs, and I think that's the acronym that we use that many people are well aware of, they're imperative, right? Imperative to any business, right? And really what it does is it translates the vision that an organization has into specific execution. And, you know, if you think about this with them, your performance becomes visible, trackable, and people are accountable. But without them, it's conceptualized, right? So your goals are there's no vision behind them. So you need to have these trackable mechanisms in place in order to meet, you know, what you're trying to accomplish as an organization. That's the way I would define it. Yep. I'm sure there's a lot more detail that we'll get into, but what's your perspective on that, Dave? Does that kind of hit the mark for you?
Yes, I think some buzzwords, they need to be specific, measurable. So when we're looking at them on a monthly, quarterly, six-month, yearly basis, they're specific to the priority, the goal, the initiative, and they have to be measurable. Something tangible that we can track. How are we doing? What does that look like? It could be retention rate if it's, say, a health club. It could be we're looking at our revenue, our expenses. It could be skill sets. So there's multiple things that could be, but I think those specific words should help people as they're thinking about that. And I, right off the bat, when I mentioned, a lot of times people think KPIs, you know, key performance indicators, and they think of leadership and the executive team who sets these. But I will tell you, I work with some organizations where they look to the individual contributors and the first line managers for input on what those KPIs should be, which I love hearing that, right, Nick? I know that's right up your alley.
Listen, I think the way you get buy-in, especially when you're developing these KPIs, is to bring people in, right? Get their perspective, because then they're part of developing them. And if they're part of developing them, the accountability is going to be there. But it also allows leadership, senior leadership, to really explain the why. Why are we tracking these? And why are these specific indicators earmarked specifically to show how we're progressing towards our goal, right? Our revenue growth, et cetera, whatever it is that you want to track. So bringing people into the development of them is key, right? And I think the misnomer for KPIs is when they're built and they're not explained. And that's where you have differentiation of opinions of why are we tracking this? And if there's no clear communication on why. So I think bringing people in, explaining the why, and then keeping KPIs more of a learning perspective of what you're tracking versus what I call the stick or the punishment, right? You don't want to punish people and use that as, well, you're not tracking, so you're going to get penalized for not tracking, but use it as a learning mechanism to see, you know, what are some of the tweaks that you can make in your individual execution of your daily action, and then how do we get your KPIs on track that mirrors people that might be successful at meeting those growth expectations. So it could be a learning mechanism if provided and explained in the right way.
Amen. Hey, I'm with you. And I know in the green room we talked a little bit. Organizations, they're looking to turn goals and priorities into something that's measurable. They're looking to create focus on something specifically. And I think when we tie that focus into the bottom line of the organization, this is why it's such a priority. And I think, Nick, you and I were in healthcare a long time. And when we would come out with new products, I remember when we'd sit down with our employees and we'd say, hey, we love our old products and we need to keep moving them forward and driving revenue and share. No doubt. But here's the why we need the new ones to take off for the shareholders, for the bottom line, right? That's where the future is going. You know, the other product we need to still moving, but not as much as we need to emphasize on. Because I know one of the pushbacks we get is sometimes our employees would come back, well, as long as I'm driving revenue, who cares which product it is? But once we explained it to them why we want the emphasis on the new stuff, because maybe we're not going to have the old stuff in a year from now or two. I don't know. I'm just talking out loud to you. But when we'd explain that, hey, there's a new product that's exactly coming out that's like our old product, they're going to cannibalize us potentially. Maybe where there's a financial component that down the road is going to hurt us. When we explain that to them, it was much easier getting them on board.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. And also, just to add to that, I would say that if you look at these KPIs and you see people that are executing it at a real stellar level, right, where, you know, they're meeting those KPIs expectations, but then equally important, they're actually meeting their goals being attained. So whether it's, a quota attainment, where they're performing above their peers, if there's a correlation that KPIs is driving those results, well, it's a great opportunity for an organization to shine a light on what really good looks like, right? And if they could say, well, look, if we really hit these KPIs and we're measuring these on a weekly basis, and these are the people that are doing it, and then you say, well, let's see how those people are performing. And if those people are performing at a higher level, versus people that are not, and you could draw a correlation to that. Well, it's an easy communication point for the organization to say, here's why we think these KPIs are important. Here's why we need to invest and execute against them at the most efficient of levels. So the buy-in is there, and then people see really what they should be doing and put more time and emphasis into potentially doing them more effectively and efficiently so they could get the similar results. So that's the other piece of it that I would say is shine a light on people that are doing it well.
Yes. Hey, before we jump into some steps in creating them, let me just run down for the people taking notes on their why organizations do it. We talked about goals and turning goals into something that's measurable, focus, accountability, be able to track progress, supporting better decisions, aligning around the same results. So I think those are all the things why organizations do it. And hopefully for our individual contributors and our leaders out there, that puts some different ideas behind the why. Nick, why don't we jump into the steps to create KPIs? Jumps for you, and then I'll throw mine in.
Sure. Yeah. Just steps. I think you had hit it, start with a really clear goal, right? What's the vision for these KPIs? What are the goals behind them? What do we want to accomplish? Right. Then, what are the behaviors that we want people to, actively think about, every day? What are their behaviors to trying to achieve those key performance indicators? And then let's make sure that they're measurable, right? So that could easily mean, all right, well, we're going to measure it. We're going to have analytics behind it. We're going to give it to you once a week on a cadence that's acceptable and measurable and viable for an organization to be able to track it. But the people that are executing against these KPIs, it's got to be constantly visible in front of them, right? So your back office team, your operations team needs to be able to provide that level of analytics on the cadence that you promised, basically. And then set clear owners, definitions. I think I mentioned cadence. And then making sure that there's a stress test. Does it really matter? So when you're identifying KPIs, does it really matter? Like if we suggest, okay, for example, here's an example, we're going to call on these key high level accounts, every 2 weeks, right? Well, why is that important? Well, because obviously they're, that's where we feel the business is and we're going to pay attention to it, right? So when you develop these key performance indicators, have a stress test for it. And that means simply, why does it matter, right? And then clearly explain why. So those are the steps that I think are critical in order to create very effective, well accepted KPIs for an organization. But love to hear your perspective, Dave. Anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I think you hit them all. The drivers, the action behaviors, and I think that's what we all need our arms around. Is they're not a punishment. Use the word stick. The KPIs, they are just key performance indicators for the organization, no matter the size, small, medium, or large. These are the things that are going to help us. I always tell people, you don't have to agree with everything. Once things get explained to you and you're still not maybe fully on board on something, I always communicate to people is we all have to remember many people are working for somebody else organization. And if they really say, we really need this to keep the lights on, and moving forward, as an employee, until we own our own business, at times we kind of just have to call uncle and say, I'm in. And I heard on social media, this was a while ago, Nick, but I think it's a great one. I don't want to mention the airline. I love all my airlines out there, so I don't want to play favoritism. But if you're looking for retention rate on your customers and clients, and I know you've done this because I've been with you, coming home from meetings in our careers together, you want to get on an earlier flight, potentially. You want to get home earlier to see the family, whatever it might be. Sometimes we got out a day earlier, whatever it might have you. And the airline would say, one airline would say something like this, because they just had this on social media. The one airline would say, oh, sorry, Mr. Rella, can't, the ticket you bought is not transferable. So you can't get on that flight. And now you're irritated. You're like, I just want to get home. Then they had the other airline stepped in and did something like this. You know what, Ms. Rella? Your flight, unfortunately, the ticket you have does not allow us to get you on that flight right now in my position. But could you hold on? Let me see and try to get you home. I heard you say you want to get on a flight to get home to your family. I am going to talk to my boss. Could you please hold and let me see if there's something we can do to get you home? They're trying at least, right? They're doing something. They told you the hiccup they have, but they're viewing you as a client and you're important to them. They're not just telling you, bad news, Nick. You're not getting home, buddy.
Yep. Yeah. It's a great example.
That might be a KPI for that organization. Yep. That person is really trying to figure out something. And the answer might be no, ultimately. But when they come back and say, Nick, you know, I tried something, Ms. Rella. It didn't work. It didn't work. Is there anything else I could do to try to help? I know I can't get you home. It's like those kind of terms. I thought that was great. And then when I heard that, I was thinking, that's a KPI, I think, for the organization, for that
Absolutely.
Airline.
Yeah. Certainly tracking the number of customers that, where change is provided, what does that mean to future revenue, right? Versus saying no to a customer, right? So I think it's a great example of, and that could be essentially very important for an organization to see, again, what would it look like if we just change our policy or change the way our customer service team is interacting with our customers and providing that next level of care, if you will. So, but great example. Yeah.
And the other thing you could have done is you could have said, when they say no like that, well, we all know, when the 16, we call it TTE, time, tone, and environment. So you're on the phone with this person. Clearly the time is there for both of you. But how is your tone delivering that news? Because everyone knows when you're calling to switch your flight, it's because you want it. And the other thing, the first thing a customer might do or a client, they might say, well, hand me over to your boss. Well, the way this airline handed it, they took care of that already. Here, let me talk to my boss before you ask. So I just thought it was well done. So let's talk about this, Nick. So how about some steps managing these? As a leader out there, and when I say leader, I mean every level of the organization that could be overseeing KPIs, these key performance indicators. How do they manage them, Nick? You got some steps, ideas, tips for us?
Yeah, so great question, Dave. I think obviously once these KPIs are created and we've identified, and you can't have a laundry list of KPIs either, right? You could, but the reality is if you have 25 KPIs, you know, no one's going to be able to follow that type of regimen on a daily basis. So you got to be crystal clear in terms of what are the real priorities in terms of KPI. So the shorter the list, probably the better if possible.
Yes.
But they have to be visible and simple. In other words, every week it's got to be a conversation, right? Communication. So very visible, very simple in terms of the list of numbers of KPIs that we're tracking. And then what's going to be the cadence? And I talked about this earlier. Is it going to be every week? And then making sure that our operations team is able to deliver on that cadence. Because the last thing you want is a KPI that comes out, you know, week one, for example, and then because of operational issues, it comes out again, you know, 5 weeks later. Well, that is a mixed message for the people that are executing. So making sure that once we've identified these KPIs operationally, we could deliver based on the cadence that we've identified. And then I think it's important that if you're meeting with your team, let's just say once every week or once every 2 weeks, that a small part of that conversation with the people that are executing should be around how are they doing versus meeting their KPIs? What might be getting in the way? What are some things that we may need to tweak within the KPI? potentially that's not working. And that's a resounding voice that we're hearing with multiple people that are trying to execute. So maybe that tells us a story that we may need to change something, potentially. So, and that only surfaces based on conversations that you're having. So with your teams. And those are critically important. And then over time, what is the end result? So for example, 3 months down the road, we've been executing against these KPIs. What do the results show? I think it's important to have some sort of analytics, not only to be able to say we're tracking well versus our goals, but also to give some perspective feedback to the people that are executing and say, here's why we chose them. Here's how we're doing here 3 months in. And by the way, here are the results that we're getting from them. So be able to communicate the news about where the results are in the KPIs is a critically important component to making sure that when we create new KPIs in the future, that we have kind of a success story to talk about as we move forward. Does that make sense, Dave?
Yeah, you hit a home run. I have nothing to add to it. You hit a home run on that, Nick. In fact, I'm going to jump right to some of the interpersonal part of it from a leadership perspective, because I think you hit it. So I'm just going to throw some things out there. You mentioned checking on them weekly. Whatever the objective that the leader sets, meaning this is what we're going to do and however often they're going to do it, you just have to ensure you follow it. You can't always be like, oh, we got to cancel that because I got a meeting. And then before you know it, you said you're going to do it weekly. And now this check-in on this is every 6 weeks. One, it looks really bad. The optics is terrible. Yep. We're all gung-ho about it. But then the follow-up is really, 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 really not good. So I wanted people, leaders, go ahead, you're about to say something, please.
Yeah, I was just going to add to your point. What it does is diminishes the importance of the KPI.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then the following week or the week after, then people are saying, well, if they're that important, then why are we not talking about it? Why are we not tracking it? So it diminishes it greatly, and then you lose credibility. And then by the time you're a few weeks go by, you've kind of lost track. Amen. And that's never a good thing.
Yes. So for my leaders out there that are overseeing this for people, a couple things I'd like you to think about. One, tone. If your tone isn't engaging, authentic, and genuine, and it comes across as a check-the-box activity, bad, like really bad, they're going to see it. None of us are good enough actors. None of us are Julia Roberts, Brad Pitt, where we can act through this, and people will see right through it. Because the other one is intent. You and I know big believers in this over the years, intent versus impact. If my intent is strictly like, I just want to follow up. How are we doing? Like, genuinely, like, how are you doing on your priorities with KPIs? Like, what does it look like? We have to make sure we deliver that in a way that our intent is in line with the impact. And if we don't come with the tone, the energy, and the right time, the impact's going to come across very badly with the employee, that they're going to be like, oh, here we go, to check the box. Because the reality of it is if we're doing our job right as a leader manager, We're doing them a favor. We're just making sure we're headed in the right direction, because it's not only important for the organization, but it's important to you, because it could be tied to your compensation, or it could be tied to your performance review, whatever it might be. So I am just here to be supportive and making sure we're going in the right way, holding accountability in a good way, like thumbs up way, not in a way of micromanagement, because we all hate that. But sometimes, Nick, if you want to touch on that, please do. Don't feel obligated. But sometimes when we have these calls, we check in, it comes across as more of a check-the-box micromanagement. And I know you and I don't love that. So why would our employees?
Yeah. No, it's a great point. So I think it really starts with the clarity and the why behind it. And if we do that up front, Dave, I think it's less of a check-the-box, as you called it, and more of, I understand why these KPIs are important, right? And some organizations, listen, they build objectives where, you know, I'm particularly not a fan of that, where they build objectives where you need to meet these metrics and then you get X amount of money in your bonus or some sort of compensation behind it. Because then I think looking for the result from the KPI, not necessarily checking the box and hitting it. Because you could be hitting a KPI and not getting the results you're looking to achieve. So, but some organizations will build some sort of objective compensation wise around it to hit that. So
where I see it differently, Nick, not to interrupt you, where I see that on the sales end of it, I see that because I know where you're going and, you know, with your years in leadership is the salesperson does these KPIs, but the results don't come. I think where you see it more prevalent is non-sales roles, non-for-profits, you know, they're tying KPIs to behaviors because they need those behaviors for the non-for-profit or even just other jobs. You know, maybe might be a manufacturing line potentially, or could be a chemist, and where there's certain things they need hit from a behavioral standpoint of actions and activities that these have to happen. So that's why they are connecting dollars to it because they're so vital to that business. We're in sales where, you know, we came from and grew up in. That used to be tough because we're giving money to people, but they're missing their quotas drastically. So it almost sent a conflicting message at times that, hey, hit your KPI. So it's that fine line, right, Nick?
Absolutely. So again, I take it back to the beginning, clarity, the why, the involvement. There's accountability when you're involved because you create it, right? So you help create it. So there's an ownership behind it. And I can't stress that enough that, you know, to get the feedback, to get the perspective of the people that are going to be executing as you build out these KPIs.
I have one more and then we'll move on to the buy-in participation, which we've already covered a lot of that, is this. Gratitude. If you're doing a weekly or monthly check-in on this, whatever your time frame is, and things are going, thank them. Like, thank them with a smile, too, preferably. Let them know. Thank you. I remember when we were coaching AAU basketball over the years, at the end of practice, I tell the kids, good job. Thank you. Yeah. Way to go. Way to work. We never can, if it's authentic with the right tone, and the right facial expressions, make it so it's important to them. Like, say thank you to them. I will tell you, that was, I don't know how many times I didn't receive that a lot when I was going through this over the years. I'd probably say, I can't give you exact data, but I'd say it was 50-50, whether when somebody was doing check-ins with me on KPIs or parties, if that came. I would say it was 50-50 that I heard a thank you or good job if we were progressing in the right manner.
Yeah, such an important element, right, Dave, to recognize what, you know, again, what good looks like and the results are being attained, KPIs are being met. And if we're missing that little human touch, if you will, I think you explained it really well, is just the pat on the back, right? Hey, we're doing a great job here. And by the way, these KPIs are being achieved and met, but look at the results that we're getting from these KPIs, right? So tying the two together, giving the recognition as well deserved and, you know, calling out people, right, by name sometimes. I think that's kind of what I believe you're trying to get to is recognizing them for what they've accomplished. I think that goes a long way and it tells people, it tells the entire team that this is the results. This is what we're looking for. And then those recognition moments will come for those people as well that might be missing currently. So, but what very well said and totally agree with you, Dave, that's an important component.
You mentioned buy-in multiple times. Let's finish with that though. Getting the buy-in and the participation with people. You want to reiterate some of the things you did. And then we can close this top and go to Win 16, Nick. But I just want to at least spend maybe, you know, a minute on this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, clearly the, you know, getting buy-in from people to execute is, I think we reiterated a few times, it's the clarity, it's the why behind it, it's the constant communication around them. and the involvement in the building of the KPIs, they create that you have that ownership because you helped create it. When you help create something, there's something special about it that makes you want to prove people that you're capable and you're, you know, you are part of the design of it. So I am going to make sure that my reputation stands on it. So I'm going to work extra hard to make sure that these KPIs are the right KPIs. And not only that, but we're going to execute against them. So if you take a look at everything we just discussed and kind of put it all together and make it a fabric of what you do in your business planning, you should get great results, you know, but when you start missing one or two of these items we just discussed, that's where things start to, you start to lose control. People, the buy-in is no longer there, and then the consistency is no longer there. So it's a total package. You can't just pick one and not the other. You have to do all of these steps in order to get the results you're trying to get.
Well said. And I know there's some people listening out there where the organization set the KPI at the highest of levels, maybe. And that's okay. That we're not saying it. If that's how the structure has got it, I think the key is even more so on that end is really sharing the why and asking them probing questions. Does that make sense? You know, being very, very, very open with the employee and getting their two cents on. So what are you thinking? Open up to me, please. And they might say, well, it doesn't really matter because we're not going to change them. You know, that's fair. You're right. These are set upon us, but let's talk about the why behind it. Let's understand. Let's tell you this why it's so critical. And I really think it's a valuable piece of 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes, hour to ensure we're on board and aligned on this together, because this will be a priority throughout the year. So, Nick, anything else on this topic? I'm ready to move on my end, but well done.
Yeah, the only other thing I would say is once you create, you know, once you say these are the KPIs we want to, this is what we created, this is what we agreed on as a team, this is what we're going to measure, I think it's always good to bounce them off, you know, potentially different functions, right, within your organization, just to say, here's what we're aligning on, you know, what are your thoughts, get perspective from different functions within your organization, just to get some feedback and maybe tweak a couple to make them more efficient. So now you have an organizational approval, if you will, on these KPIs, and the more people involved in fine-tuning him, I think the better the results and the more targeted you might be in your approach.
Amen. All right. One of our favorite topics in the world. Win the 16, right, Nick?
Oh, yeah. Listen, great topic, Dave. Always win the 16.
So for our new listeners today, first-timers, Win the 16, I wrote a book, got published in 2023 on Amazon. It's called Win the 16. Principles and strategies to optimize your day. Ultimately, what that is, team and friends out there, is you've got 16 hours a day to try to be your best self. 16, why 16? Well, most healthcare sleep experts will say, generally speaking, most of us should get between 7 and 9 hours of sleep. We're just, I know for myself, I'm just a better business owner, friend, parent, husband when I get good quality sleep. So we split the difference and we came up with Win the 16. Let's try to get 8 hours. And I know many of you out there, you're like, that's a pipe dream. All I can say is do the best you can. That's all. But that's what Win the 16 is about. And it's traits and characteristics and strategies about mental toughness, efficiency, effectiveness, habits, inspiration, motivation, which we don't always have that every day. It's about time management. It is about accountability, having a support system, building a mission plan, and taking care of yourself, your health. Without that, I read something the other day, Nick, and I think I already shared it with you, was somebody says if you got a lot of problems, you can eliminate them because as soon as your health goes, you're only going to have one problem that really matters, and that's your health. They're being very tongue-in-cheek when that was said on this post that I read, but I think it really goes back to health should be a priority of us. So here's what we thought we'd do. We're in the first quarter of 2026. Many people have big goals and priorities. Maybe they've changed some habits this year, added or deleted. Nick and I thought we'd talk maybe a little bit about Win the 16 and maybe it helps people on their journey. So, Nick, anything of the Win the 16 topic, because I know you're a big supporter of it, that you'd like to discuss?
Wow, Dave, you hit on so many great topics within the book. I highly recommend it for any organization, any individual that's looking to fine tune, sharpen whatever it is that they're trying to get accomplished personally or professionally. And there's so many great pearls, if you will. Dave, you did such an amazing job with this book. And it's written in a way where it's easy to understand and it's easier to actually identify some things that you want to work on in your own, your own life. So, but for me, and I'd love to hear your perspective, Dave, you're the author here of this book, and I'm probably going to ask you a question here.
Sure.
But for me, what resonated a lot was chapter 15, Change Agility. And you spent some time on the importance of evolving yourself, right? Just an ongoing improvement, way to reflect on yourself personally, professionally, to say, what do I need to change, right? There's a lot of things that we do that are constant and we're, they're habits. We're very good at them. Potentially, maybe we're not very good at some, right? But how do you continue to keep yourself ahead of the game, if you will? And whether it's, maybe exercising a little bit better, a little more often, whether it's doing some things to keep your professional game and maybe reading a little more, looking into potentially your next role. What do you need to learn about your next role? So change agility for me resonated a lot. And what is the investment of time that you're putting into that particular parameter in order to change? So think about thinking about change agility often. Are you preparing yourself for, the next 5 years? And that, bottom line is your ability to change and evolve. And if you don't think that's important, there's a lot of organizations that have not changed, right? And 5 years later, they're no longer in business. So professionally, I'm a huge proponent of making sure that we are evolving, we are investing time into learning new skills to prepare ourselves for the future. And you did a great job in the book, Dave, just kind of highlighting the importance of it. I gave a little perspective on how it resonated with me. So hopefully to your listeners, it hits home. But Dave, I want to throw this back to you. Listen, I know you're probably not just going to pick one topic, but when you think about what we just discussed today, right, KPIs, and you think about maybe pearls within the book that your audience could certainly dive into quickly as it relates to KPIs, what part of the book, what chapter in the book do you think resonates or relates real well to the topic we discussed today?
Well, with KPIs, I think that's a brilliant question. Way to tie it together there. We didn't even talk about it in the green room. Mr. Rello, that is excellent. I think multiple chapters. Goals would be one right off the bat. KPIs, that's a goal. Priority, big rock, whatever you want to call it, that would be a chapter that really defines it. I would say habits, creating the habits to hit the KPIs. I would say time management and discipline are part of it. Those are two different chapters. Why? Are you putting the right amount of time into each and every KPI. Then are you having the discipline to do the things you need to do to achieve those KPIs? Accountability. Are you being accountable? I think we almost can go through the whole book, Nick.
I know. And I know you were going to, I knew that you were not going to pick one particular chapter.
Yeah,
so, but great point though.
I want to touch on the change agility piece too of it. And I think I think we all need to face a reality on this. We are humans, and I love humans. We're amazing. But there's some weaknesses we just have to be cognizant of. Our brains are there to help us talk, read, function, all the things it does. But then one of the things it does is it's there to protect us. And sometimes it's there to save energy. Save energy. How do you save energy? Well, you do things that are easy. I always tell people, I always ask a lot of times when I'm giving a talk or training, is your brain or your friend or your foe? I always tell it's both. Because a lot of times it's, and one of my sons, Jason, we always talk about that inner voice. The inner voice doesn't help us. And I think sometimes we mask, I hear this probably too often. And that is, this is how we've always done it. Or I've always been successful. And I always tell people, I have so much respect for your success. Like, I'm not even saying that, being BSing you. I mean, like, I authentically, genuinely have a tremendous amount of, like you. You've won 13 or 14 now nationally recognized awards. And what I'm most impressed about, besides that quantity, is this. I was around for your first many of those. You couldn't do your business the same way now that you did then. And in fact, you couldn't do your business the way you did it 6 years ago. You've had to evolve and change your leadership style and the way you've attacked the businesses. You've been in multiple different kinds of businesses, startups, brand new product, existing product, a product where you weren't even trying to win at the top. You were just trying to get a little bit of share. Those all take, that all it has to take changing and evolving. So I encourage people too, as they're going through it, is the skills that made you successful. It wasn't necessarily how you sold the product and to whom. It was the traits, discipline, your toughness, your never giving up, your ability to have good quality time management. But I would tell you the way you did it and some of those sales skills or the way some of your clients bought who you called on and you still call on, it might not work now. The game has just changed. And if you don't evolve, I can guarantee you who's not changing. The client that you're selling, that you sold 5 years ago and that's not buying today, and they're giving you all the reasons why they're not, you're going to have to evolve to get into their world. And that's where I'm going with this is I am not trying to persuade those wonderful leaders and individual contributors out there that have just been stellar employees. Like, I'm so impressed by you. What I am saying, though, is keep some of those skills and traits that you do so well, but some of the things, the way we do business, just don't work anymore. And you might get by, but getting by is probably not the standard you've set for yourself throughout your career. Did I say that right, Mr. Rella?
Spot on, Dave. Well said. Totally agree with you 100%. And yes, we need to evolve, right? And it doesn't matter. You need to find a way and dig in and do some reading, research, talk to some people like yourself, Dave, that are just provide so much great value. And you had so much great experience talking to different executives. So talk to people like yourself to get that perspective. But evolving is a big part of the game. So accept it. But you well said, Dave.
And I think some of the people out there, and again, all the respect, if they've been doing that same job now for 3, 5, 8, 10 years, they've probably been really successful, and they probably always met the standards, not just the company standards, but their own standards. I would just caution them, if they're not hitting the standards of the organization as much as they were, it's not that they're bad. What it's probably is they probably just need to change, evolve, and make some modifications in what they're doing and where the business is going and handle that. And again, remember your brain. Your brain is probably, unless you rewire it and override it, which you can do, your brain is going to tell you, keep going down that same path, because by nature, we don't love discomfort. We don't love boredom. It's probably going to take additional work to get through these. And I know my last 4 years, everything I've been doing has changed. So I get it when people say, well, Dave, you're kind of in that mode because that's all you've been doing for 4 years. Fair. Like, very fair. I get it. So I'm not asking you to do what I've done is just, you know, start a new business and write a book for the first time and do the Iron Man and do a podcast. All these things very new, didn't have a clue. What I am saying, though, is just your small modifications and changing some habits, adding some habits, I'm telling you, you'll be back to where you want to be ultimately, and you'll get away from these kind of conversations of it's so much harder. Of course it's harder. No doubt. Selling now and leading now is much harder than when I started years ago. It is. I tell my kids that all the time. You got it harder than I did. I'm not letting you off the hook. You still got to kick ass. We can say that at Win 16. You still have to hit the standards that we have in this family. Like, yeah, it is probably harder. So anything else, Nick, before we close it out?
I was great just going to say, just real quick, you're the mastermind of challenging yourself. What you just described is you got to be fearless, right? You got to challenge yourself to make those changes so you could evolve. And Dave, all the things that you just said, you've been exemplifying that in everything you've done in Pygon One. So kudos to you by leading the way in that regard.
Well, what's the alternative? If the alternative is, here's what the conversations are going to look like for all of us if we don't. We're going to complain about all the reasons why it's not working for us. We're going to talk about AI is doing this for us. We're going to talk about, I've had this discussion with many people recently, how resumes aren't getting read because, you know, the AI robots are reading them, right? Humans aren't reading a lot of these resumes, so they're not getting through. That's fair. But complaining about it and fighting it, I don't know how we're going to win that. I like to win. I know you do too.
Great point. We like to win.
So what we need to do is we need to customize our resumes now to get the keywords in for the job that we're applying for. So what it means is sometimes we're going to have to create our resume 4, 5, 6, 7 times so it hits the buzzwords for that job that we're going for. Yeah, is it more work? Yes. Is it no fun? Yes. Is it maybe not very comfortable? Yes, all fair. But that's the game. That's the game. And to win, kind of got to evolve and move. So I could talk about this all day, friend. Nick, great job today.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you for having me on.
Nope.
Appreciate it.
I knew when I came up with this topic, I'm like, you were the first person I called and asked. So thank you for fitting some time in your schedule to jump on this today. So we all learn from you. We appreciate that. So the Nick Rella out in the Northeast, thanks for jumping on today.
Thank you, Dave.
To our listeners, thank you. We appreciate it. You keep doing you, Win the 16, and Nick and I are not perfect at this. We got to manage this every day. We're just trying to get better. And, hey, when you have tough days, give yourself grace because you will have tough days where everything doesn't work. We do. So remember, we're looking for progress, not perfection. I don't know if we'll ever get there, but keep progressing. So to the listeners, thank you and Win the 16, everybody. All the best till our next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Win the 16 podcast presented by Pygon One. Please follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Episodes will be released every other Wednesday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Thank you and go Win the 16.